Sports Hub headlines.
I'm excited for the task at hand. I know this, you know, historic franchise and this organization, and you know, winning is number one, and bringing a championship back to Boston is the ultimate goal, and I'm happy to now be a part of it.
Yes, that's the voice of one J.D. Martinez, who is actually a Red Sox. Each side had to rework the contract language once his physical showed some wear and tear. Bob Nightingale earlier today from the USA Today reported that the long-term concerns had to do with Martinez's right foot, which Scott Boras, the agent of Martinez, confirmed this morning. That's the same foot that suffered a sprained ligament last spring. The deal is still for 5 years, $110 million, but now includes opt-outs after years 2, 3, and 4. One more Red Sox note. Manager Alex Cora told reporters yesterday that neither Stephen Wright nor Eduardo Rodriguez will be ready to start the season in the rotation. NHL trading deadline today at 3 o'clock. Bruins, they might already be done after acquiring forward Rick Nash from the Rangers yesterday. Bees also acquired defenseman Nick Holden and dealt Frank Vetrano for a pick last week. Last night, the Bees lost in Buffalo 4-1. They finally return home tomorrow night, hosting the Hurricanes. Over the weekend, Patriots signed Brandon Bolden to a one-year deal, while Malcolm Mitchell tells Mike Reese that he's feeling great and we'll make sure he's ready for OTAs this summer. Meanwhile, the Rob Gronkowski rumors, they continue to swirl. He sent out a cryptic tweet on Saturday about the future, and there's no definitive word yet on Gronk's future. In another NFL note, Cincy tight end Tyler Eifert, who is a free agent, has been medically cleared to return after undergoing micro disc surgery last season. Finally, Seas are 2-0 since returning from the All-Star break. They'll be back home tonight hosting the Grizzlies. Celtics tonight with Grandy and Max will start at 7 o'clock. Headlines brought to you by Dr. Leonard Strauss, DMD. Change your smile and your life in just one day. Schedule your free smile consultation now at StraussOneDaySmile.com. I'm Nick Cattles. Headlines coming up at 11:30.
A Google smart speaker in your home or office? Just say, hey Google, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's amazing!
And listen to Boston's Home for Sports. They work.
Arr, matey.
While you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know, I want to get it out.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Here come the drums. Lewis off Brady's left. Tip as the quarterback kicks a shotgun snap. Looking for Cooks. He's got a step. And he can't get there as the ball lands at the 30. A beautiful throw as Brandon Cooks could not reel it in.
He's short-armed. How does he not run through this? If it's going to be away from you, lay out.
Oh, that's not. He's got to have that. It's one of the frustrating things with Cooks at times. It seems like everything's got to be on target.
Quarterback takes a shotgun snap. He's looking left. He throws back in the end zone. Incomplete. He was looking for Cooks to reverse direction.
Tom Brady is so frustrated right now with Brandon Cooks.
How would you explain what Cooks is supposed to do?
Oh, my God. Cooks ran a, went to the back end line and went right. Brady thought he's breaking left. There was a hole in the middle. Mm-hmm. He's not reading things correctly.
Throws it for Cooks on the slack. Oh. Knocked down by Adoree Jackson.
He's wanting him to come flatter. Brady's looking right at him. This is money time. You got to stick with Lewis, Gronkowski, Amendola.
Get trusted.
Oh, it's money time, all right. It's the offseason. Talking money. Ben Volen says, extend Brandon Cooks or cut him. The two extremes, no in between. Do not pay him the $8.459 million, which puts him on the list of wide receivers, currently, without any contracts being signed this offseason, at 16th in the National Football League. Would you say he's around number 16 in terms of outside guys, those guys that get paid in the NFL?
Is he a top 16 outside receiver talent?
Top 20. Is he a top 20 guy?
Yeah.
You want to know the names that are around him?
Sure.
Robert Woods with the Rams.
Rams.
$8.8 million. Then it's Cooks, who is tied with Kelvin Benjamin and Odell Beckham Jr. At $8.459 million.
He's better than Benjamin.
Yes.
Better than Woods.
Yes.
Beckham's on a rookie deal, right?
Yes. So is Cooks.
Yeah, they're on that same 50-year option, right?
I mean, what are we talking about here, though? I mean, Volen's talking about releasing the guy if he doesn't say yes to a long-term extension. That's such a hideous idea on a million different levels.
If you were stacked at the position, it's not a hideous idea.
Oh, it is. You gave up a first-round pick last year for the guy, and We're talking about Cooks like he was useless last year. Let's remember, the deal was made when they had a healthy Edelman, a healthy Mitchell, Amendola, who I don't know if they had planned playing 50% of the snaps, 70% of the snaps. The circumstances surrounding that trade were entirely different first week of the season than what they were when that trade was made.
But you traded for him because you felt you had a need, and they do have a need. They still have a need for the guy.
But the point, I agree.
that's my biggest thing. They still have a need for this player.
But I don't know.
I'm not buying in on Malcolm Mitchell. I know Malcolm Mitchell's doing some events today, and he's doing some charity events this week, and he spoke today and told Mike Reese, and he's feeling great. He feels wonderful. Yeah, I'm not trusting that knee. I'm not trusting that he comes back and he's the same player he was in Super Bowl 51. They still have a need for the player and for the skill, despite him having issues that Ben Volen does outline and gives you all the issues and things that frustrated him as a viewer, frustrated a lot of people. Obviously, Zoe was on the guy, it felt like, every single week for something. So if you're at home right now and you're Brandon Cooks, what do you do? How do you approach it? And if I were Brandon Cooks, I'd do nothing. I would not engage on a contract extension. I would say, nope, I'm coming back, and I'm playing for my $8.459 million. I am looking forward to the season. I am looking forward to my $8.5 million. I don't understand the other part of it, which is sign him to a 2 or 3 year contract extension. Why would he ever agree to do that? Why? He's about to go into free agency for the first time in his career.
Okay, so to finish my prior point, when you look at when the deal was made, the Patriots aren't looking at Cooks just isolated last year in a vacuum. They're looking at Cooks and how can he affect this team going forward. My point is Edelman is going to be back. Mitchell, who knows about him? I'm with you, Beadle. I don't trust any idea of him being back. Chris Hogan, you're hoping will give you 15, 16 games unlike he did this past season. So when you have Cooks along with those other guys, those other weapons, that is what Belichick is looking at. And with Cooks, we have to put into account that they pretty much changed the offense with him because they said to themselves what we wanted to do, which was use Cooks outside the numbers and attack deep and attack down the seam and all those things. Now we have to try to utilize Cooks more underneath, which is not Cooks' strong suit. The reason why Cooks had those flaws that we saw last year is because he was put in a spot that they were not expecting to put him into. So it was square peg, round hole for him this year.
Well, I'm not making any excuses for him in the way that he played at times because there were plenty of things that he could have controlled and didn't.
I agree with that, but what I'm saying is the role that he was playing within the offense, Beadle, is an entirely different role than what was envisioned.
There are things he could have done better that he didn't do that had nothing to do with his position and what he was doing.
The reason why I bring that up is because
he fought the ball all year long.
If Volen's point is that, hey, long-term deal or he's gone, off of what he did last year, I think that's terribly misguided. Yes, he has flaws. Yes, he's not physical. Yes, he has trouble when he runs with the football. Those were diagnosed by Greg Bedard 3 months before the season started. I don't know where anyone was. I don't know if people were sleeping on that. But it's been well known that New Orleans did not run him a ton of wide receiver screens. They did not give him the football a ton out of the backfield and jet sweeps because he's not great with the football in his hands.
But to this offseason, more on that. The Patriots are stuck in a lot of ways because Danny Amendola has to manage the snaps in the regular season. And he's now going into his mid-30s. Julian Edelman is coming off a torn ACL. Rob Gronkowski is currently contemplating retirement and sending out cryptic tweets. The other tight ends on the roster, Dwayne Allen, right now Martellus Bennett, Hollister. You look at this team. Oh, Malcolm Mitchell. He says he feels great. Okay, I hope he does feel great, and I hope it means he's going to be back and he's going to play a full season because I think that kid has a lot of talent. But is that something you could bank on? What are they going to do? They're now going to cut, or I would even say trading is a possibility if the Patriots don't want to pay him $8.5 million because they feel the value is out of whack, which it probably is. What does that leave you with? You're not as deep as you think you are when you really go through it and some of the
Deion
possibilities.
Lewis is a free agent, yeah, too.
And Deion Lewis is a free agent.
Okay. But back to your point, it's like, why would he do it? For the same reason that a lot of these guys do it. They will take the 3 years obviously, they're not going to sign him for 3 years and $24, $25 million, whatever it would equate to for his $8.5 million that he's scheduled to make next year. But sign a 3 or 4 year deal, say for the neighborhood of 18, 22, 23 million, something like that, for the guaranteed money that would be included in that. That's why they do it. Oh, okay. You're going to guarantee me some money. You're going to have me here for 3 years. And if winning is at all important to the guy. I'm going to get to play with Tom Brady for a couple of more years. We just went to the Super Bowl. Going to have the same head coach, same offensive coordinator, presumably, at least for another year. So, yeah, that's a good situation. And I'm not going to make $8.5 million next year, but I'm going to be here for 3 years, and I'm going to be guaranteed a good chunk of dough. That's why you sign it.
And you approach him with a long-term extension idea. There's no doubt about that. If I'm Belichick, I'm doing that. And if the point is he's not willing to sign that long-term extension because he wants big, big, big-time money,
right,
then there's much better ideas to handle that situation than to cut the guy. And one would be, hey, you deal him. Because last year, he did have over 1,000 receiving yards. He did have over, 65, 66 catches. He had 7 or 8 touchdowns. I just hate the narrative. Like, this guy was...
Release him.
Useless.
Yeah, release him.
No, and that's not what he's saying. I mean, he said he had a nice season. He did. He had a very productive season.
I mean, if you say you're going to cut him, if he doesn't say yes to a long-term deal, you cut him. That's saying that you don't think the team can utilize his skills this season.
Well, it's because you just believe in value over everything else, and I think at times the Patriots have been guilty of that. So I don't think Ben Volen is often suggesting the Patriots might think along those lines.
$8.5 million is not a terrible price for Brandon Cooks.
But if you are Brandon Cooks, I would sit there and say, yeah, you got to pay me that $8.5 million, or else you got to cut me.
Oh, absolutely.
You have to trade me, because we talk about Kenny Britt, and we laugh about Kenny Britt even being considered as someone who might contribute. That same Kenny Britt was on the market last year and signed a 4-year contract for $32 million that guaranteed him more than $8 million bucks, just hitting the market. Kenny Britt. So what's Brandon Cooks worth if he hits the market this offseason?
No, he's going to...
You think he's going to make back that $8 million guaranteed money?
Yes.
I think he is.
Yep. Yeah.
I think he most certainly is.
Absolutely.
And then could get the same kind... Actually, I stand corrected. Kenny Britt, guaranteed money at signing was $10.5 million.
Mm. But see, that proves that proves my point, though, doesn't it? I mean, that proves the point that Cooks is fine at $8.5 million. I mean, Volen is treating that $8.5 million number as, like, the end-all, be-all, terrible deal.
It's a big cap number, is what it is. It's a big cap number, and it's for 1 year.
Jarvis Landry's getting $16 million this year.
I know.
Yeah, I don't think it's a huge cap number.
They're going to trade him, aren't they?
Devontae Adams got $30 million guaranteed, like, what, last offseason?
The Patriots can drop Dwayne Allen and 2 or 3 other guys and create $35 million of cap space with Cooks' deal on the books. I'm not too freaked out about it. The guy is more than worth keeping on this team. And I think if you surround him with the players that were expected to be there last year throughout, he'll be even better than he was this season.
Billy Jaffe will join us coming up next. He will discuss the trade that the Bruins made yesterday, bringing Rick Nash over from the Rangers.
Hey, sports fans. Time for the weird.
Zolak.
The wild.
Bertrand.
And the unexpected.
How's his butt look? Tight. It looks good.
Good.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
You know, I wanted to go to a place that wanted me, and a place that had a great chance to win. And, you know, I think Boston fits both those perfectly. I just want to bring my style of hockey, try to be a big power forward, bring some offense, be responsible defensively, kind of the complete player. But it's you know, I haven't really been in this situation coming in mid-season, so it'll be fun to see what happens. But at the same time, they're such a good team, and they have so many good players, is you just kind of want to see where you fit in and not ruffle any feathers.
The Expert Hotline, welcome in. From this very program, 98.5 Sports Hub, the Hockey Show, Touch and Rich, Ness and Pre and Post, Billy Jaffe.
What's up?
Billy!
What's up, fellas?
How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing all right. I'm a little disappointed with last night's effort in Buffalo, but I'm feeling good about this team. I'm still positive. Every team has little ups and downs.
What do you make of the Nash deal? Tell me what your reaction was yesterday when you first heard the news.
I'm good with it. I think it's a, you know, we always hear these terms, hockey trade, basketball trade, whatever, which means fair trade. I think it's a fair trade. I think it's a fair trade for both teams. You're going to have to give up a little something. The biggest give up, no question about it, is Ryan Lindgren. I mean, of course, a first-round pick is important, but it's going to be a late first-round pick. But the Bruins have been able to stockpile their assets in the last couple of drafts and make a lot of good picks that are after the first round that people would say, well, in hindsight, would have been first round picks. Ryan Donato could turn out to have been one of those guys that, oh, he could have been a first round pick. Anders Bjork, who was taken in the fifth round, could have been a first-round pick. So I like it. You know, they give up a guy in Lindgren who's a potential defenseman, not a number one, maybe a number two. He probably projects as a third-pair guy. Not big, not offensive, but heart and soul, leader, tough. But on the other hand, they get Rick Nash, and it shows the team, fellas, that they believe. And there's nothing wrong with getting that vote of confidence from your management.
That was one of the things I liked best about it, Billy, was the fact that Sweeney said that the team deserved it. And I thought that was, you know, maybe a bit of hyperbole and maybe kind of cliche, but I like that he said it because I think it's true, and I think that the coach deserves it too.
You're right, and it does present now an opportunity and a different challenge for the team in the sense, okay, here you go. It's time to perform now at even a higher level, but that's good, and I think both the team and the coaching staff relish that. You get a big name in Rick Nash who is, he was looked upon as one, he was not even looked upon, he was one of the league's premier scorers many years ago when he was with, six, seven, 8 years ago, Columbus, and then transition to the Rangers when he put up between 30 and 40 goals regularly. He's not that player now, but there are many people that think he's a much more complete player. He's an excellent 200-foot player, similar in that vein with Bergeron. He's not a center, though. He's a wing, but he can help you in all aspects of the game. He'll absolutely add to the PK. He should hopefully help the power play. Everybody needs to help the power play out right now after the last five games, but in theory, he could also be, if you need be, he should be on the ice in important situations, in defensive situations, because he's incredibly responsible. So he brings you, Hardy, an element that just, it adds a whole, I think, a ton to your team up front.
We're talking with Billy Jaffe. Bruins making a trade yesterday for Rick Nash. One of the knocks against him, Billy, is that in the playoffs, he's not been great. 77 games, decent sample size. Just over 40 points in that time, 15 goals. What do you think of that? What do you think about that knock on Rick Nash?
Well, offensively, he hasn't lived up to what the hope was, that he would be a goal scorer or a bigger point producer. But again, I look at it and I say, where has he been able to help the team otherwise? Well, with the Rangers, he did help them get to an Eastern Final and a Stanley Cup Final. And he played a ton of minutes, and he was, again, involved in all situations. And, they lost to a better team in the L.A. Kings that year. That's not to say that, that they couldn't have won, but I covered that series, and L.A. was pretty good. Nash, more of the knock on Nash, Beadle, is if there's a knock, the comment is he had some concussion issues some years ago, and at times doesn't play in the middle of the ice as much. I mean, I've watched him, not just last night, I've watched him enough where I see when he's moving those feet, and he's not a quick skater in the sense of, fast like Spooner. He's more powerful fast. When he gets those big legs going and he's driving, he's a hard body to stop physically. So if he plays inside, I think he'll have success not only regular season but in the playoff too.
So that's one way of saying it. I guess maybe another way or a different point altogether is what Nick Cattles brought up earlier, was that the fact that some people have said about Nash is that he disappears for stretches. Like he seems to, I don't know, maybe lose his focus, lose a little bit of interest. Have you seen any of that? Go ahead. Same way of saying he avoids the middle of the ice. Is that just another way of saying the same thing?
Yeah, exactly. That's been the scouting report on it. That he hasn't at times done that. Now, he started to morph into a bit of a different role at times with the Rangers. And look, they would have loved for him to be a 40 goal scorer every year. Who wouldn't like to have one of those, right? But you start talking about players trying to accomplish or help accomplish different things in their role. And as the Rangers got better, and they had a real good D crew for that amount of time, and they had guys up front that were producing some more, whether it was a Zuccarello who was coming onto the scene or Derek Stepan, he started to morph into a little bit of a different role for him. And they, because of his contract, and you've seen that here with a couple of players, whether it's a Krejci or a Tuukka, he's making $7.8 million. That's the last year of a $7.8 million per year deal. People wanted those 40 plus goals every year, and and they didn't get it. So if you got yourself a 27 year old Rick Nash, sure, everybody would be ecstatic. You're not really going to get yourself a 27 year old Rick Nash because he's going to be signed. It's going to be a near impossible trade. So you get a 33 year old Rick Nash, who I do think, I think give him a week. He hasn't played a game in a week, and he still played pretty well, I thought, last night. Give him another week. Get a little few games, some practices under him. And I think along with Krejci, and don't, by the way, I'm going on a tangent here. I think the lines might be changed as the season goes on. They might try a few things here and there, but I think Nash will do well with those guys.
We're talking with Billy Jaffe. Billy, what's the latest on Patrice Bergeron?
Well, we saw him play last night, and he was Patrice Bergeron. You know, he plays through everything. He got hit in the face, too. No practice today whatsoever, you know, completely off. So I'm not going to give any other update for him. But a foot injury that, you know, taking the puck in the foot, I think if there was any concern, Beetle, that it was anything more than what it was, there's no way he plays yesterday. You know, it looks like it's a bruise. A lot of times you put one of those compression boots on now when you take off, because when you take off your skate, the skate almost acts as, it is a compression boot. Yeah. So when you take off the skate, if it's a little swollen, if it's a little sore, you put one of those on to help stabilize it, to compress it, just like it's still in a hockey skate.
I was shocked to see him on the ice yesterday. You know, you see him in a boot, you know, one day, and then he's skating the next day, but you're right.
But that boot now, what Billy's saying, it's always that extra precaution now.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that they, I didn't panic when I saw that, because they do that for just about everybody.
Oh, I wear them even when I'm not injured. I'll put a boot on every once in a while.
Well, it's a fashion statement for you, Hardy.
Yeah, well, whatever works. But otherwise, he's okay. Health-wise, the team seems to be in a pretty decent place as they wind up here. And back to Nash, I guess, for a second, when, you know, we talk about the ebbs and flows and whether the team is peaking too early or something along those lines. Can the addition of a player like Nash actually help to kind of like ward off any of that plateauing you might see from a team that's been playing as well as they have?
Absolutely. I think so. I think that there is a, you know, and there becomes a focus of helping him. And let's not forget Nick Holden, who I got to assume gets in the next game. If not the next game, at least by, I'm going to guess, Thursday, but we'll have to wait and see. And also now Brian Gionta. So you bring in these new guys and you want them, and this team has got really good leadership this year, great leadership by committee. Obviously starts with Char and Bergeron, but they're going to try and ingratiate these guys in. I think Hardy can help them get out of the funk, but get them into that a different mindset, so to speak. Help them out right there. Make sure that there's going to be a sharpness to the morning skate tomorrow, knowing that you got new guys out there, knowing that you want to help them get acclimated. And also, if you're a player, you know your antenna's up a bit. You got ice time, you know. You've got to be, say, hey, wait a second. If I'm a regular but I'm not playing well, there's two, three new guys right here. I need to make sure that I'm doing my job and to be sharp.
Billy, before we let you go, do you rule out any other moves for the Bruins today? Do you think they're completely done?
I will not say completely done. I don't think a big move. I don't think that happens at all. Would it be surprising to me if a player that maybe a tweener-type player gets moved? No, it wouldn't surprise me. And do they maybe try and bring back a draft pick for a player like that? Beetle, that wouldn't surprise me at all. I don't think a big move, though, will happen.
All right, Billy Jaffe, appreciate the time, bud. We'll talk to you later in the week.
Gentlemen, see you Thursday. Nice talking to you.
Thursday nice. It is. Billy Jaffe.
Thanks, Billy.
You're on Zolak and Bertrand, the latest on the Bruins, adding Rick Nash. And Patrice Bergeron played last night, but he's dealing with that foot injury, which... Good time for a day off today. Good time for a day off, because I'm sure he could use it. 617-779-0985. Your thoughts on the possibility of the Patriots restructuring, re-signing, cutting Brandon Cooks? We've got that, the Rick Nash deal, and J.D. Martinez now officially a member of the Red Sox. We'll jump back into that coming up next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
J.D. Martinez, finally a Red Sox. Yes, 1 week after he agreed to terms on a contract with Boston, he was officially announced as a member of the team this morning down in Florida. Bob Nightingale of USA Today reports that the Sox had long-term concerns with Martinez's right foot. Scott Boras confirmed that earlier today to reporters as well. That's the same foot that suffered a sprained ligament last spring. The deal is still for 5 years, $110 million, but now includes opt-outs after years 2, 3, and 4. Of the deal. NHL trading deadline happening in, 3.5 hours or so. Bruins might be already done after acquiring Rick Nash from the Rangers yesterday. Of course, that was after they acquired defenseman Nick Holden and dealt Frank Vetrano for a pick last week. Last night, the Bees lost in Buffalo 4-1. They return home tomorrow night hosting the Hurricanes. Over the weekend, Patriots signed Brandon Bolden to a one-year deal. Also over the weekend, Rob Gronkowski tweeted out something cryptic about his future. And, of course, those rumors about Gronkowski continue to swirl. No definitive word yet on whether or not he is going to retire. Finally, Celtics 2-0 since returning from the All-Star break. They're back home tonight hosting the Grizzlies. Celtics tonight with Grandy and Max will start at 7 o'clock. Headlines brought to you by AdCare Hospital. If you or a loved one is struggling with alcohol or drug use, help is just around the corner. Call AdCare at 1-800-ALCOHOL. I'm Nick Cattles. Next headline coming up at noon.
Are they aliens?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
J.D. Martinez, now a member of the Red Sox. They made that official this morning after a trip to Boston for Martinez. Had to come to Boston and work a few things out. He's updated his bio on Twitter, if anyone cares. Put the, now it says official Twitter page for Red Sox outfielder.
I should have.
J.D. Martinez.
I should have had an alert for that.
Yes. So Evan Dralek has a lot of details here on what changed in the contract. He has some quotes from Scott Boras, who didn't say much when they were all there speaking publicly. I can't stand this about baseball. This is such a baseball thing. They have a press conference, 9 a.m. today. They get up there, and Dombrowski's there, and J.D. Martinez is there, and Boras is there, and Cora's there. They all sit up there and talk. And you could tell the questions weren't that pointed, because all the writers are saving them for the little individual one-on-ones after the fact. Mm. This is what they do. They save the questions, the stuff. Okay, what's the number one question today? You finally get these guys up there speaking publicly. What was the holdup for?
Yeah.
What's the injury?
Yeah, right.
What changed? What's different? No, they don't ask those things on purpose.
How's the list fair?
They
what's
wait.
Going on?
They wait because it's a custom to have the small group gathering after the actual press conference happens.
Yeah, I hate that.
What are we doing?
Because the first question should have been like, what's going on with the foot?
Right.
There are reports about a problem with your foot. How do you feel?
Right.
Those kinds of questions.
But they save them.
But
they
instead it's like,
so they save them for what? They think they're going to get an exclusive? They think they're
going to... No, they do. This happens at every baseball press conference. The four
guys I'm saying
come down
that,
off the stage, then they meet with the BBWA.
Right, but they meet with them, and each one of those guys thinks that they're going to be the only one to ask the question?
No, but for some reason, they know they'll get it in the small groups.
Maybe they'll be the first one to tweet it out.
Scott Boras, I mean, if you listen,
2018, get the tweet out first, somebody.
If you listen to that press conference, it lasted a little shy of a half hour. Not once did they tell you what the injury was. Never once did they say, that was his foot, it was his knee, it was his elbow. No mention of any body part and what injury it was.
But these negotiations are more of a cooperative venture.
You got a lot of that baloney from everybody up there. No one said a damn thing. But then after that, the small groups, Scott Boras on J.D. Martinez, here are the quotes now. I have to read them because he wouldn't say this when he was sitting there.
It was not an adversarial process.
Of course.
It was a process of understanding.
So adversarial.
Through that, we were able to come to an accord.
Man. You should get to Dombrowski. It was good for both sides.
That is agent
speak. The J.D. Martinez accord.
Yeah. He says, obviously, Scott Boras later said, obviously the x-rays and things showed he had this condition called the Lisfranc condition. It's healed, back to normal. The question is, what if it has any impact in the long term? And kind of agreed that it's not much of an issue. From our standpoint, we have opt-outs in the second year, the third year, the fourth year, and we have flexibility. And they have some protection at the back end. That's all. In case there's a disabling injury. Drellick then added these tweets about 10 minutes ago. He says, even more clarity on the J.D. Martinez injury protection to affect year four. Must be 60 DL days in year three or 10 days or more in year three, plus a total of 120 days total in years two and three. A three-doctor system will define if related to prior Lisfranc injury on a new injury. Sox protected. Oh, this is nuts. Only if it's the old injury coming back. And Evan writes, needless to say, this is annoyingly complicated. And you could start to understand the headache that they went through.
Yeah, I tapped out about 40 seconds ago. Doesn't interest me. Sorry.
But here's my thing. So this is the injury protection. Does that mean the Red Sox can bail and they have their own opt-out? What does that mean? They don't have to pay him? What is the exact thing that is triggered?
I would think it's a system where the Red Sox can absolutely opt out. In the three-doctor system, I would imagine is you have Boris's doctor, right? You have Martinez's doctor, a team doctor, and an independent doctor. And depending on what those three doctors come up with, you can get out of the deal. That's what I would think. That's why they say it has team protections. I would imagine there's a way for the Sox to say, thanks, but no thanks. This injury has been a headache. We want to move on. Because if you're Martinez and you miss 120 days between two seasons, that's still 4 months between two seasons. It's still a lot of time. 2 months a season, that's still a ton. You're missing, what, 45 games a year? So if you miss 45 games a season in years two and three, Martinez might look at that fourth and fifth year, even at $17 million per or whatever, and say, no, I want to stay.
Of course.
Because I'm hobbling around here. So the Red Sox, I do think they would have to have ways to get out of that deal. And I think it is up to the doctors, the three-doctor system, to get through it all.
That's all I want to know. What does it mean for them? Does it mean they can opt out? Does it mean they don't have to pay him? What does it mean?
Can you imagine these conversations? Because you know there's like, it's not just Dombrowski and Boris. You've got lawyers there. You've got doctors there. It must have been an absolute freaking headache the last 5 or 6 days of this thing. Going back and forth with all this tedious language. Oh, my God.
To make you feel better in the end? Makes me feel better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if the Sox have an out, absolutely. Protect yourself. Makes sense. It's just, you know, Dombrowski, I don't think, is going over every single word with a fine-tooth comb of this deal, right? He's got his minions in the front office to read all the language in every single sentence, and he just probably says, all right, what's it say? Give me the nuts and bolts. All right, that's what it says? Good. Move on.
120 days on the disabled list.
Yeah.
Combined.
Mm-hmm. So 4 months in total of years two and three. So if he misses 2 months, I mean, he can miss 3 months and 1 month, right? Doesn't really matter. But if you split it up, 2 months a season in years two and three.
Or it could be 60 days in any one season in years four or five. Mm. Doesn't have to be combined 120. It can be a combined of 120 or 60 in any one season.
But in any one season of four and five, now I'm getting confused. Like, only in four or five. Like, if he missed 60 days this year,
no, but the
they can't get out of
sorry,
it, right?
The protection is in years four and
yeah,
five.
Yeah, so, okay.
It says 60 days on the DL in one single season or 120 days cumulative. Only in fourth or fifth year of deal. I'm taking that to mean the protection only applies to years four and five. Like, if he has an injury this year that keeps him on the DL for half the year, and again, it would only be if it was the Liz Frank injury. It's not a new injury. Has to be the same injury. If he misses half the season, you're still on the hook for 3 years of the deal, right? Is that fair?
If he has a career-ending injury this year with the same injury, then they get a couple bucks back 4 years down the road.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They don't have to pay years four and five. So they sign him to 3 years and what, $72 million is the money over the first three?
So here's what you...
Oh, great. Here's what a bargain.
Okay, so here's what you take.
It'll cost you less than Pablo Sandoval. Congratulations.
He'll be Ruzne Castillo in years four and five.
Congratulations.
That's needlessly negative, I think. I don't think there's any reason to bring up Pablo Sandoval at this juncture. How dare you?
I'm just saying that's dead money you currently have.
Yes.
But it makes me feel better that they went through this process and are trying to protect themselves. And the opt-outs, I love the opt-outs. I love that they're in the deal. Yeah. I hope he crushes it for 2 years and says, I'm back on the market.
Yep.
And then we can all sit there and say, bye, JD. See you later.
Thanks for your 2 years. You're 32 now.
Yeah. Bye. Right. So long. Best of luck in your future endeavors. 617-779-0985. Want to touch on another story from the weekend? That is the real major news story in college basketball involving a $100,000 payment to a player. This story is tip of the iceberg right now. It's just starting to get good. That's next.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
Hello? Go ahead.
Yeah. About.
Yeah.
So, but.
Yeah.
What was that?
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So college basketball is going through a trying time right now. Yeah, madness of March is on the way. Arizona head coach Sean Miller did not coach for his team this weekend. This after it was reported that he talked to a sports agent runner about paying $100,000 to make sure that DeAndre Ayton signed to play for the Wildcats.
Hold, and just so we're all clear.
$100,000.
This is the head coach.
Yes, the head
of
coach.
Of the basketball
team. Well,
you've got
to understand, his assistant had already been indicted. So when the guy on the staff was already in trouble with the law.
You talking about Book?
He had to get, you know, kind of involved and take over some of the day-to-days.
Book Richardson? Guy's name... That's the assistant, I believe.
So you kind of had a situation where the head man had to get his hands dirty a little bit.
Yeah, this... Now, did he talk to the player directly, or was he talking to an intermediary?
No, he was talking to a runner for the agent.
Okay, that makes it a little better, doesn't it?
Well, there's layers there.
Okay.
But when you're on a wiretap by the FBI...
Well, did he know he was on a wiretap?
No, but
well,
I mean, come
entrapment.
On. You never watched Goodfellas?
Yeah, that's entrapment.
Never watched a movie? You don't do it on the phone.
Entrapment.
Get a burner.
A burner?
Get an outside line. You know, Tony Soprano.
That's still on the phone.
Yelling at Christopher Moltisanti. You know, what are you doing?
Even with the burners, you got to be careful. You watch The Wire, they got ways. They got ways of doing stuff. I can't believe this guy was on the phone. What year did this take place? Was it like in 99? Was it
No, it was within the last 365 days.
Oh, well, that's a further problem. Well, how does one come to the point in life where you think it's okay to talk about sending $100,000 to a player so that he will commit to your school over the telephone?
Good to know that they still do the old school wiretaps, right? You think everything's email and text now? Nope. You pick up that phone and call, they're going to have that too. That's right. $100,000 to DeAndre Ayton, who a lot of people had pegged going to Kansas when he was coming out of high school.
Well, Kansas didn't want to pay the money, obviously.
Obviously, they didn't have the same cash flow that they had at Arizona that Sean Miller had. So Sean Miller will probably, I don't know what's going to happen to him. But if he gets fired for, this is the best part, if he gets fired for cause.
This is crazy.
He will still get more than $10 million.
Come on.
In guaranteed money that is owed to him.
There's like something within his contract that if he's.
Special language.
Like if he's fired with cause, he makes more money than what he would be if he's fired without cause. Think about that for a minute. So he's almost like he's sitting pretty right now. He's going to make more money getting popped.
Right. If he were to get cause. If he were to get fired just because his team sucked. I think that was the thing. He'd make a
but
little
maybe
less
the
money.
Language right. dictates that if you get fired for something having nothing to do with basketball and coaching, that is perceived as without cause.
Hmm.
Whatever the case may be, he's going to end up with all
a lot
his
of
money
contract language on today's show. A lot of contract.
I love it. But meanwhile, the University of Arizona's outside counsel is saying that DeAndre Ayton did not accept a bribe to play for Arizona. That's shocking. I can't believe they would say such a thing.
It's all crap.
Issuing a statement saying that the reports are false and unfounded. That he's been interviewed by the university, the NCAA, the FBI, Pac-12, and an independent counsel.
Yeah, so wait, you're telling me that top college athletes get paid money to play? No way. No
well,
way.
Well, here's my favorite
no,
part of the weekend.
No, he didn't get paid. Didn't you hear? He didn't get the money.
He didn't said, get
no. Those no. are Those reports are not credible.
Sure, he didn't get a car or anything from it. He got nothing.
Unfounded reports.
Unfounded. Wait,
I'll tell you who is winning. Really? I'll tell you who is winning Twitter this weekend. This reporter, Bree Lewerke or Lewerk. I don't know how to say her name. Didn't know of her until this weekend. But she covers college hoops, and when DeAndre Ayton committed to Arizona, she did a one-on-one sit-down interview with him. And now that you've heard the allegations against him and against his head coach, and you've heard about the wiretaps and the $100,000 payment to him that was discussed, this makes this audio going back now just a great listen. Here it is.
So you committed to Arizona recently. Tell me what the biggest deciding factor in that was and what you're looking forward to most playing under Sean Miller.
I mean, it was pretty easy committing to Arizona because of my mother. My mother said she really likes it out of all the colleges.
Pause.
Yeah, it's his mom.
Gee, I wonder why mom likes Arizona so much.
Mom was like, 100 G's, we're going to Arizona, son.
Could it have been the bag of cash?
Pack your bags, going to Arizona.
She just loves Arizona. She thinks it's a great place. Great place for my education.
Loves the climate. It's a dry heat. My mother hates humidity.
My mother says she really likes it out of all the colleges. And, you know, it didn't really matter to me what college I went to be honest, you know. My mom says she likes him. She feels a good vibe.
Oh.
You know, she's a
good vibe,
lady,
Sean Miller.
So she said he's a very humble guy, him and Pat Coach Pasternak, and she loves the program. And hopefully playing on the Coach Sean Miller, you know, I intend to, like, help him get to the final, for his first Final Four, and hopefully a national championship.
Yeah, she likes the vibe, as in the vibration that her phone gives off when she gets the alert from her bank that there's been $100,000 deposited into her mobile account.
His humility really stood out when he was sitting at the table sliding a bag of 100K across.
No, my favorite part was, it didn't really matter where I went to college. Did you hear that?
Did you catch that? Doesn't matter. I don't care.
They were one and done. That's
play that
it.
Again. I don't really give a crap where I go. Oh, man.
It's not like I'm going there for the classes. Like I'm going there because of their engineering program.
Bidding was open, baby.
Yeah, that's it.
The most.
Everybody was paying. It was just how much.
Right. I'm a basketball player. I'm going to make a lot of money playing basketball. Does it matter where you go? No.
And, you know, it didn't really matter to me what college I went to be honest.
To be honest. I mean, hey, we're all about honesty here.
He's already got an agent, obviously, so it doesn't matter what college he goes to.
Let me put it to you this way. I'm going there for less than 1 year. Yeah. I'll be there for a total of 9 months.
Yep.
And that is from moving. That's from student orientation. That's from, you know, practices. That's everything from my time on that campus will be essentially the gestation period for a human baby. That's it. That's all I got.
So the school's appropriate. The school's right. They didn't pay him money. They paid the agent. The agent paid the mom. Yeah.
Yeah.
The school can get away with saying that.
It's like, you know, I picked Arizona because Kansas was only offering $75,000.
Yeah. But for Sean Miller,
figured I was worth more than that.
It makes sense. If his contract stipulates that he's still going to make millions of dollars, fired for cause, without cause, whatever, then yeah, I'd risk having a conversation on the phone. If everybody is doing it and these guys are getting paid to go play somewhere,
well, that's the
sure,
thing.
Sure, that's absolutely worth the risk because I'm still going to be wealthy as a result of the contract that I've already signed. No matter what I do here, so yes, I'll pick up the phone and talk to a runner who's going to pay $100,000 to get a kid that I need to have a successful program. If I get caught, worst case scenario, I still make an eight-figure salary.
Yeah, people look at this and go, oh my God, how does Miller have the kind of hubris to talk on the phone about something like that? You want to know why? Because he knows that college basketball is the world of scuzz, and that everybody, every top coach, every top program is paying for their players.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Which means there's no hubris at all.
Yeah.
Which means, you know why you got caught on a wiretap talking about a $100,000 payment? Because there's a dozen other coaches that same day who could have been caught on a wiretap talking about the same damn thing.
Because their egos are out of control. They run that sport. They know they can get away with it.
How is it even ego at that point? If everybody's doing it, where's the ego factor in? This is just doing business as business is done. That's just operating within the system that's been created. I don't even say you're an egomaniac or you've got the hubris or you don't care. You're, you know, flaunting all the rules. What? We're all doing this. What are you talking about?
Well,
yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, I managed to get 100K for this kid. How great is that? Can't wait to have him on my team.
I mean, the hubris thing is, that's why I said, you know, I don't think it's hubris because they're used to doing this kind of stuff. But college basketball coaches, as we know, their egos are monstrumental. Like, what they are able to do and the way they talk, the way they carry themselves, they think they're above everything. And so this goes just in line with that. And every coach, I hate to say every coach, a lot of coaches, because I don't know if it's every single coach, but I would have to imagine the majority of coaches at top programs have conversations like this, and this is the way things work out in that world.
Email from Jay, one of our listeners. To be fair, that was a fantastic contract for Arizona. Great player, well worth the money. They got him for a steal at $100,000. Peter Chiarelli would have given him at least a 4-year deal at $8 million per.
He is awesome. He is an awesome player.
I mean, he's good. There's no doubt about that. So the other part of this story, and Nick, I think you're hitting on it. Nobody cares.
No.
Do you care the kid got $100,000? I don't
it's
care.
It's not even a scandal.
Is anyone upset? Is it even a scandal anymore?
No.
Now, the dollar figure to have out there publicly, that's a new one. We haven't had that before. But it is what it is. You'd be naive to not think that this has been going on in that sport. And in college football and in college basketball, this happens. This is going on.
And that school is going to make more than $100,000 off of that player.
Of course they are. They absolutely will. So I've got that in the mix. I got some more thoughts on this too, because there's like a media gripe that I have about this too. Like the shocked people that are can't believe that this was going. Stop it. Stop. So we've got a lot going on here. JD Martinez, Rick Nash, also have this story in college basketball and the possibility that Brandon Cooks could be in for some sort of restructuring, or what are the Patriots going to do about his contract, if anything? We'll keep that in the conversation as well heading into the noontime hour.